What's up, everybody? Welcome to the ATL Sports HQ live show, the show for the fans by the fans. This is episode 14. I am Bob Lancaster. You can find me at Bull and Bob. And I'll also be posting on Chop Up, Chop Down, some of my articles and stuff. So make sure you follow that and find me there as well.
What's going on? I'm ATL Phil. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at underscore ATL Phil. I promise I won't say any bad words this time.
What's good, everybody? I'm Derek Clemens. You can follow me on Twitter at dclemens.
You can follow the site at atlsportshq.com and atlsportshq on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. And also the show can be found on all major podcast sites, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, basically any major podcast sites. And if you're interested in writing for the site, we are still actively recruiting. Just shoot over a message to Phil on Twitter at underscore ATL Phil or me at Bull and Bob, and we will get you set up. Well, let's get to the first topic. The association was rolling today, man. You can tell it's getting close to trading deadline time. Phil, go ahead with the big trade of the night.
Yeah, so the Dallas Mavericks have acquired all-star forward Kristaps Porzingis and Courtney Lee and Tim Hardaway Jr. and Trey Burke in exchange for point guard Dennis Smith Jr., two future first-round picks, and Wes Matthews and DeAndre Jordan. But Wes Matthews and DeAndre Jordan are expected to be bought out and signed to contenders.
So you say, why are we starting with this trade? Well, you know what? This actually has big Atlanta Hawk implications behind it. We got a little bit of a draft pick issue here with the Dallas Mavericks. Phil, have you heard anything else about what's going on with this pick? Have you found out if it's going, staying? What's happening?
Nothing confirmed, but of course, as we all know, if Dallas's pick originally, if Dallas's pick was anywhere from six to wherever they finished, anywhere above six, we would be getting the pick this year. Now, the NBA, you cannot trade picks in back-to-back years. So let's say the Mavs don't make the playoffs and they end up with a top five pick. That means it would go to next year. Well, you can't trade in back-to-back years. So there's a little bit of confusion if the conditional, if the condition will be dropped from the draft pick this year. Now, that would be a very good thing because I don't think KP gets Dallas to the playoffs this year. They're about five and a half, six games back right now in the Western Conference. Now, you have to figure LA is in the ninth spot right now. You have to figure LA will get better. The Clippers, they're not going anywhere. There's about five teams. Dallas is in about, last time I looked, they're in about 12th or 13th place. So it is a very, very tall uphill battle if Dallas wants to make the playoffs this year. Now, yes, I know they'll probably be late in the lottery, but people are forgetting the draft lottery is weighted much, much different this year. If you haven't seen the new chart of odds, you need to go check that out.
Yeah, there's been definitely a lot of misinformed talk on Twitter about how this new draft lottery works. People are just, you know, assuming that last year is, you know, is still how it's going to be. But yeah, it's all about percentages now. And, you know, there's even, you know, confusion on my end. You know, I just, I'm pretty sure that I know how it's supposed to go, but then, you know, I kind of get thrown all around. But this conditional pick thing is just rather interesting because, you know, if they could convey this year, the Hawks could be looking at like a chance at two of the top five picks. But Derek, who do you think won this trade?
I think obviously the Mavericks won the trade, but I don't think it was as lopsided. I think both teams got what they were looking for. I mean, of course, the Mavericks, I guess they wanted that guy, and they get a year to maybe get him to re-sign after the season of 2020, because I think that's when his contract goes. But, I mean, the Knicks, I mean, KP, he didn't want to be there. And, I mean, you had to get rid of him if he doesn't want to be there because you don't want to lose him for nothing. And then they also, I mean, you know, the Knicks always think they're going to get the free agents to come in. So they had to get more cap space. So where they're standing, I mean, they got another pick. I think, what, they get two picks? So they're staying and they get money. And then they also got in a young asset and the Jones kid. And then, so with them doing that, I mean, they just are totally rebuilding and they have to find the new guy that they need to rebuild around. But from the Maverick standpoint, I mean, it's a big risk that they took seeing in the situation that they are in right now. And then, I mean, even if Porzingis comes back this season, I mean, he's not going to be 100%. And I don't see them making a push. And like Phil said, I see them, it's an uphill battle all the way. And I mean, I see them going down from here, really, because it's a new roster and the chemistry has all changed.
Yeah, you know, Kristaps Porzingis never seemed comfortable in New York. Like, maybe he just wasn't ready for, you know, the prime time of Madison Square Garden, the lights, you know, just everything that comes with playing for New York. I think this situation for him will be fantastic. A team that's known for their international flavor, fans of the international game. You know, you've got Luka Doncic there already, you know, another international player. They looked rather chummy yesterday after the game, and you know, at the post game handshake and stuff. You know, I love to see the slow motion lip reading from, you know, Kristaps when he was talking to him. It's probably like, yo, see you tomorrow, bro. I'll be on that team. I'm just gonna get my way out of here. But my thing was, I don't understand why the Knicks felt like they had to trade him like right now. I mean, it just didn't seem like they weighed the offers that they possibly could have had. And so, you know, Phil, do you think they got rushed into it?
Yeah, because it all happened so fast today. You know, I'm at work doing work and, like, you know, I see something that's like, okay, KP had a meeting with the Knicks, but he didn't request a trade. And then I saw, like, 5 minutes later, well, the Knicks feel like he wants a trade. And then it was like, the next time I looked at my phone, he's been traded. So it was really, really weird. But I kind of, you know, this has been a few years coming, honestly. You know, there was when I think right before they got rid of Phil Jackson, he was willing to trade KP. And it just sounded out-of-worldly at that point. That was about two off seasons ago.
Yeah.
Since then, I don't think KP has been happy. And New York has just not been – they had, like, two good years with Melo out of, like, seven. They just have not been able to get out of their own way. I don't understand why people are even giving them the time of day talking about hyping up their cap space like they're going to do anything with it. New York is a poverty franchise. It is a disgrace. It's the biggest, best city in the world. The, like, mecca of – ball, and they can't put together a decent team there. It's a disgrace to the NBA.
Nobody has any respect for Dolan anymore whatsoever as the owner of that team. They seem awfully confident that they're going to, you know, be able to get Durant. I'm pretty sure that'd be number one on their list. They could convince him to come to New York, you know, and so, you know, that's where a lot of that cap money could go to. You know, you could max out Durant. But, you know, I'm like you. I don't see anybody wanting to go there because it's a disaster of a franchise. I mean, it's just we're going on, what, about, you know, 10 years of this going on? I mean, it started with Isaiah Thomas and the fiasco that happened when he was there. And it just seems like it gets worse and worse and worse every year. And essentially, you know, we won't know what this number one pick will bring them. It could bring them, you know, a superstar. We could say down the line from now, hey, great trade. But for now, I just don't understand it. They wanted to market Porzingis as their star. And, you know, something obviously happened there. But like you said, there's been trade rumblings about him for going on two years now. And so it's just obvious that, you know, it was time for a change, and they, you know, they were obviously, it was time for a change because they were willing to make that move right now. So, but, you know, Doug, he made a good point. He's like, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr. has now gotten traded twice by the Knicks. The poor guy can't catch a break.
Yeah, well, he better not go back.
What's that?
He better not go back this time.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you can't blame him. He went for the money. I mean, that was a sweet deal that they were willing to give him fresh off that hot season in Atlanta. So, but But yeah, you know, we'll, that's something we'll keep an eye on, especially with that pick. Like I said, we definitely, you know, we'll probably report next week on what, you know, what really happens with that pick. It's funny thing is on Twitter, you know, all the major guys that break these news have zero clue how they're going to pull this off with not having to give the Hawks that pick next year. So
maybe it's a risk they're willing to take. Maybe they really think KP will come back and get them to the playoffs, but I don't see it.
Uh-huh.
Place 5 games back right now with 5 teams to leapfrog. I don't see it.
Real quick, Derek, are you surprised that they gave up on Dennis Smith so quickly after the year he had last year?
I'm actually really not surprised after they traded for Luka. I mean, it just, from the start, it just seemed like they were ready to hand over the keys to Luka and let him be the one that's distributing the ball to the players. And I mean, Smith never fit with Luka, and I just don't think their play styles coexist very well.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you on that. You know, he really has fallen back to earth. He got that sophomore slump going on this year. The minutes have gone down for him. You know, that just seemed like they had a lot of high implications. But again, you know, Mark Cuban has always liked that international flair. And, you know, it just fits right into, hey, next year Dirk retires. You just slide Kristaps right in there. You got another fan favorite. So it's a good deal for them. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say that they win it out. But we'll go ahead and move on to the All-Star game. Captains were Giannis and LeBron. Phil, you happen to have the roster on who made the All-Star team by chance? I forgot to pull it up.
I'll have it in about 25-30 seconds.
But anyways, Derek, do you think Giannis and LeBron are going to make good captains?
Yeah, I think LeBron will try to get his buddies, and then Giannis will just try to get the best team possible.
Well, that's good, because I asked Derek, but you answered anyways. What do you think, Derek?
I agree. I mean, I think LeBron's going to pick Kevin Durant first. Yeah, I'm pretty sure LeBron has the first pick. I think he'll pick Kevin Durant, but then after that, I think he's going to start picking all his friends.
You don't think that LeBron's going to pick the first person he wants to come to LA with him? Come on now, man.
Because he's going to get enough of that. He's going to get enough of that in the season, in a regular season, so he don't got to do that in an All-Star game.
Yeah. To me, that's like this new format just reeks of the collusion that is the NBA, because now you've just got guys sitting in that locker room together. How many of those guys are either close to free agency or at free agency? And so you're sitting there with LeBron and all them, and there is about, you know, they're going to talk about building teams. It's just like, this is now that there's not really the Olympics anymore, you know, that dream team type thing. This pretty much is the dream team for them, just getting all those guys in on one day and start convincing everybody to go somewhere. They all want to beat Golden State now. So essentially, you're just going to have everybody from Golden State that made it sitting on their own in the locker room while everybody else sits around and tries to find a way to beat them. So, but, Phil, what's that roster looking like?
To the Western Conference reserves, you got Russell Westbrook and Klay Thompson, of course. You got Damian Lillard, Anthony Davis, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Karl Anthony Towns. And then out east, you got Ben Simmons, Chris Middleton, that's a surprising name, Nikola Vucevic, Bradley Beal, Victor Oladipo, who of course will be replaced, Kyle Lowry, and Blake Griffin.
Yeah, you know, shout out to Chris Middleton. That was, you know, that was a surprising name to me. But he's deserving. I mean, you know, he's had a really good year this year, but quietly, you know, he's on a team where, you know, he doesn't get all the credit. And so, you know, definitely shout out to him for making it. But, you know, I was kind of surprised that, you know, Harden didn't get the captain spot with the year he had. I mean, I know it's, you know, what is it, like a certain amount of percentage fan vote?
Yeah, 50% fan voting, so you know how that goes.
Yeah, uh-huh. So, I mean, I guess I was a little surprised that he didn't get it. But, I mean, when you're going against, you know, the LeBrons and everything on that side, it's tough to, you know, be the captain. But who do you think, you know, let's see, who do you think that you think that blah, 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 blah. I'm having a tough time with this. Derek, who do you think each is going to pick first? There we go.
Like I said, I think LeBron's going to go ahead and get Kevin Durant. And then I think Giannis will go ahead and snatch Curry, get that shooter on his outside for him so he can throw it out to him and shoot wherever he wants.
Phil, who do you think each is going to draft?
LeBron will grab Curry. Curry's in his hometown, Charlotte. So he's going to want to put on a show. I think he's going to go for that MVP hard. And then Giannis is going to take go with Harden.
Man, you stole my thunder, because I think LeBron's going to pick Steph Curry as well. And you put it for the same reason I did. Hometown, you know that he's going to light up the three-point line. So, and then James Harden for me is the next logical pick for Giannis. But it could be, for me, it's either Harden or Durant for Giannis, but I think Steph Curry will go first. But one thing we talked about before the show, and we kind of had a little bit of discussion in chat, I think John Collins got snubbed here. He's been putting up just fantastic numbers, again, quietly on a not-so-great team. But he really has been, to me, the team MVP this year. I know that you both say it's not really much of a snub, but Derek, why do you say that?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's much of a snub because he missed a good portion of this of the season at the beginning. So, I mean, and the thing is, there's no one that he really should have made it over that I think. But I do think each and every year, I mean, there's all-stars that do not make the all-star team. And, I mean, there's plenty of them this year, as you can tell. So, I mean, Collins has a future ahead of him, and I think he'll probably most definitely be an all-star next season if no injuries or anything.
Yeah, why do you think that it's not so much a snub, Phil?
Yeah, it's just the NBA, you can't award losing teams. Yes, he's averaging 19-10. It's an all-star on a playoff team, but as on a losing team, you have to average about 25 points a game to make it on a team that's lingering under .333. Now, Colin, nothing against Collins. You know, everybody knows I'm one of Collins' biggest fans. But it's just the numbers aren't there yet on this kind of team. If we were hovering near 500 or better, then yes. But next year, probably.
Yeah, I agree with you that, I think that, he's got a chance to be, in the draft next year if he continues to have the season he's having. Just to finish off on, All-Star weekend, three-point contest, Steph Curry versus Seth Curry, that is going to be a lot of fun to watch. Those two can shoot, so. And a little bit of a brotherly rivalry going on there. So I'm really excited about that. And then looks like it keeps looking like John Collins is going to be in the dunk contest. I still don't know if it's been confirmed or not, or if they've even said who's going to be in. But having seen John Collins rock the rim a lot, he could be an interesting, interesting pick. And again, that could get his name out there to be known. I mean, it did so well for Donovan Mitchell last year. So All-Star Weekend is looking good, but let's get on locally to the Hawks. They had three games since our last one. They lost to the Blazers. They beat the Clippers and was a really, really good game. And then the Kings again destroyed them last night. So, but one thing I want to talk about with you two is how good was it for Trey and John Collins to get some publicity out in LA this week? They were on ESPN, I think, two shows this week. Phil, how good is that for them and the Hawks franchise?
Yeah, it was very good. First of all, let me shame TNT and NBA TV for people who don't know. Their studios are right off the campus of Georgia Tech, literally 2 miles from State Farm Arena. So shame to them for not ever having them in studio. But I think John Collins was on the Starters last year, but they should be on there as much as they want to be. But it's really good to see the publicity. People see Trae Young, he's not Luka, he can't shoot. Well, first of all, look at the numbers. Look at some of your favorite point guards' numbers their rookie year. And I promise you this, Trae's numbers are better. First of all.
But hey, Trey and Luka have as many All-Star teams as you know, as each other, right?
And also, hey, if you really break it down and look at Luka's numbers and look at Trey's numbers, they're not that different. So I don't know why people act like it's so like far-fetched that the Mavericks have won this trade. Also, don't forget about that pick next year. And Luka's been playing against, you know, pros for a long time, but let's not get off the tangent. But Trey and Collins have very big personalities. They're great for TV. They're great for catching the attention of the casual fan. And if they keep up this play, you know, Trey and John have been amazing the last 10 games. I know John had a bad night last night, but Trey was still good. They are a core we can build around. They're a core we can market. You can put them in commercials. They can get people attention. There's someone the kids can gravitate to. You know, that building a fan base here in Atlanta, it'll start with captivating the attention of these elementary school kids. So, you know, it'll be cool for someone to wear a Trey Young jersey or a John Collins jersey out in the elementary schools in the metro area.
Derek, do you think that the Atlanta Hawks are marketing these guys good enough? I'm not seeing in the Atlanta market much like commercials with them or anything. I'm surprised more with Trey that we haven't seen them really market him all that well. Do you think they're doing a good job?
Yeah, from the standpoint that you say, like commercials and stuff like that, I mean, I don't see much of that, but I do think they market them a good amount on their social medias and things like that. I mean, I don't live in Atlanta, of course, so I mean, I don't know if there's any billboards of them too or anything that they market with. So, I mean, sometimes, especially early in their careers, I mean, as with them both being very young, you don't want to expose them too much into the media. Because, I mean, it could get into their head or something like that. And you want them to be more focused on their game. So, I mean, I guess that could be one of the reasons. But I do think, like Phil said, I mean, there's perfect opportunities for them to be marketed. And, I mean, I just think they're both underrated. And they don't get the attention they deserve, especially Collins. I mean, a casual fan might not even know who John Collins is at this point. And it sucks because, I mean, he's definitely one of the top power forwards in the East right now. And that's, I mean, in the league.
That's a fantastic answer, man, because that's exactly what I was going to say, where, you know, they're both young. Let them work on their game before you're shoving them out in front of the cameras and stuff like that. You know, here, obviously, when you walk into any sports shop, it is John Collins jerseys. It is Trey Young jersey. You know, they're right alongside every Vince Carter jersey, you know, and so they're definitely getting marketed as far as store-wise, and then, you know, within team. I don't know so much about the billboards. I don't really pay attention all that much to that. But I, you know, I just agree so much with you on that. Let them focus on the game for a little bit, and then, you know, then you can start building them up. But I thought that this LA deal and being on ESPN was really good for John Collins. Like you just said, it did give people a chance to get to know who he is. He's more of an out front spoken guy as opposed to Trey. Trey is a little quieter and stuff like that. But you know, that it's just, you know, there's a big ceiling for those two, and so they'll get their time to shine nationally. Let's get them known here locally, you know, and build them up, and then we'll worry about the national stage.
A bad thing about it, especially with Trey Young, I mean, on the starters, they literally asked him so many questions about Luka Doncic and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, they even did that one thing where they asked him who would be better. And then I forget exactly how the question went, but then that went viral on Twitter and everybody was down and Young and stuff because of his confidence and how he answered.
What was that, Phil?
And then they took the comments and ran with it. Like, stuff like that pisses me off.
They took it like he just came out and said that, like, the question wasn't put in front of him.
Yeah, you know, but that, you know, that's what ESPN does, you know. They get paid by the controversy, not by the interviews. So, you know, that doesn't shock me in the least bit. So, but yeah, they did, you know, because I found myself when I watched that interview, I'm like, man, if you wanted to interview Luka, why didn't you just invite Luka into the studio, you know, or just have Luka and Trey Young, and then let's just let them talk smack to each other like you obviously wanted. So,
like, as a competitor, what the hell was he supposed to say?
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, I never understood that stuff. Like, even I remember a few years ago back with Brandon Jennings in the Heat when he said Bucks and six. What was he supposed to say? Oh yeah, the Heat gonna sweep us. Like, what?
I know, man.
That happened with Devontae Freeman too the other day on First Take. They asked him about something like where he stands, and he was saying like, "I take me over anybody." And they was like, "Over Le'Veon Bell and stuff," and he kept saying, "I'll take me over anybody." Uh-huh. So it's just how they try to spin the comments and just take the key points of them.
Yeah, it's not that's not shocking. That's the media, you know. So, but you know, before we end on the NBA talk, real quick, you know, trade deadline coming up. Who are you taking? The first person that goes for the Hawks, Phil?
Dwayne Dedman.
Now, who were you hearing? We talked about this. Who did you hear the trade rumor about Dwayne Dedman?
Markelle Fultz.
Oh, my boy, Markelle.
We have nothing to lose. Let him take as much time as he wants. Let him do whatever he wants. Get ready. If we can get anything out of him, that would be a plus.
That's exactly my feeling on that one. I mean, if we can, especially for someone like, I mean, obviously Dedman has been great for the Hawks, but we don't need him. So, I mean, if we can get folks for someone like Dedman to come in and then back up Trae Young.
I'd even give them Lynn, too. Dedman, yeah. And Lynn for Fultz and a future second or something.
Yeah, they would have to give us something else, probably.
You both know I'm a Fultz bandwagon guy, and I completely agree. Let him come here, get healthy. There's no need for him to rush out this year and play for us. Get him on the floor next year. And that could be devastating. I've seen him when he's on. I'm a huge Washington Huskies basketball fan. I've just seen it. He's not the greatest floor leader, but we don't need him to be a floor leader. We need him to be a shooter. We need him to be healthy. You know, get his shot right. And I'm telling you that he can be a superstar. I'm not buying this whole, you know, that there's just something mentally wrong with him. I do think that there's something physically wrong with him because he never shot the ball like that ever until he had the shoulder problems. So I would make that trade in such an instant. It's just, you know, I wouldn't think about it.
Like you both said, I mean, we just have the perfect opportunity from you. I mean, there's no rush. You take as much time as you want. And our development team, we've seen what they've been able to do. And like you said, he doesn't have to be the main ball handler. I think we have Trae Young. So, I mean, it just, he has all the time in the world and there's no expectations. I mean, the media doesn't pay attention to the Hawks. I mean, so just a perfect opportunity, really.
But yeah, you know, that's going to be a fun one to watch. I certainly hope that trade happens. I said I'd love to have him here and be able to follow him a little bit closer here in the ATL. So, but we need to move on to the NFL. The Super Bowl here in Atlanta this week has been pretty happening. I mean, lots of activities going on. Atlanta has handled the traffic very well. I have not heard of really any, you know, big slowdowns or anything like that, which surprised me. So,
lucky you.
Yeah. I mean, the great thing about it was that we had the fake snowstorm on Tuesday, so no one was on the road whatsoever. So you could get anywhere in Atlanta, you know, within like 15, 20 minutes, which is amazing. That never happens in Atlanta. So after a week and a half of thinking about it, Derek, what are your predictions?
You know what? I'm going to go with the Rams. I'm just going to go ahead and go with the Rams. I think they have too many weapons. I think the Patriots are done. I mean, the roster is one of the worst. Obviously, you have Tom Brady. You never count out Tom Brady. But, I mean, they shouldn't even have beat the Chiefs, to be honest. And, I mean, the Rams might be even better. And I don't think the Patriots are going to be able to stop that run game.
Yeah. What are you thinking, Phil?
I'm sticking with my original prediction that I have stuck with everywhere I've made predictions. Patriots 31, Rams 28.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with mine as well. 31-17 Patriots. I just don't think the Rams are quite ready yet. They've got a good future ahead of them, but yeah, we'll talk about the reasons why coming up through this discussion, but you know, who do you think is going to be your X factor, Phil?
I'm going with the Georgia running backs. I really think either of them can have a big impact on the game, especially Michelle over in New England. Gurley has been struggling, but they're both pretty much back home. It could be their coming out party.
Yeah, who's your X factor?
Phil stole my first answer. I was going to go with that, but I think another X factor could be the Rams defense. I mean, all the weapons they have on defense, if they're able to put pressure on Brady, which he really hasn't seen in the postseason this year, I think they can, if they can get some turnovers, I think they'll be able to get it.
You know, I'm actually going to turn that the other way around. I think the X factor is going to be the Patriots defense, because with Goff being a rookie, and I'm not really a rookie, but I mean rookie to the Super Bowl, first time Super Bowl, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. And when you put pressure on Goff, that's when he tends to start making mistakes. He gets out of his game management ability and forces bad throws. So I think the X factor is actually going to be the Patriots defense. We got some predictions in chat. Dougie, he said the Rams 42, Patriots 35. Ryan says 34-31 Rams. Tushar says 27-30 Rams.
Come on.
Tushar, you're the best, buddy. We love you, man. He said 30-27 Rams. So it looks like the chat's heading towards Rams. I just can't see how you can bet against Tom Brady in this thing. But
see, that's the thing. I'm not going to bet. That's the thing. I can just say it off of thought. But if I'm putting money down, I'm putting money on the Patriots.
How exciting is it that this is really going to feature two Georgia running backs in a Georgia Super Bowl, Phil?
Yeah. Oh, you know, it's great for the state of Georgia, great for the city of Atlanta. And, I'm not a UGA fan, but it is RBU.
It is. Derek, man, how cool is it that these two get to shine in the biggest stage?
Yeah, it's cool to see them two go against each other. And I mean, like Phil said, they could be the big important keys for both teams. I mean, whichever one could get it going on the run game could cause the outcome.
Yeah. And it's not just the two running back. There's actually a few other players, from Georgia Tech and Georgia playing, in the Super Bowl as well. There's been a lot of smack talk between, Georgia Tech, especially with, some of the Georgia guys having to practice on the Georgia Tech field. So just been a lot of smack talk, but it is good for the state of Georgia, especially with not having the Falcons in, to have some kind of something to root for. Whether or not you want to root for a team or not, you can always root for Sony Michel and Todd Gurley to both do well. So, but my wife, she says 33-10 Patriots. She knows. She's seen Tom Brady, so she knows what happens. But Brady versus Goff, who do you think will have the better game, and who has more pressure on him, Phil?
Well, the pressure I was about to answer confidently, and now I'm thinking about it. How can you really say there's that much pressure on Tom Brady? He's already won 5.
Yeah.
with Goff, he's so young, and who really expected him to honestly be in the Super Bowl? So it's like, well, we're here. So if we don't win, we got time. But I'm still going to go with LA, because the Patriots, they've been here, done that. They know what to expect. They have 35 players on their roster with Super Bowl experience. I believe LA has 3. So, LA, they might get caught up in the lights in the moment. New England, been there, done that.
Yeah. Who do you think will have the better game, and who has more pressure on him, Derek?
Even though I'm picking the Rams, I do think Tom Brady will have the better overall performance. But I think it's the obvious choice that the Rams, I mean, they have the most pressure on them. I mean, Patriots, they've been here. Belichick and Brady have been there, 9 times or something? So, I mean, same old, same old. So they don't really have pressure on her. They've been there. They've done that.
You know, isn't it weird though that we'll sit here and say that a team that has been to the Super Bowl that many times doesn't have the pressure on them, you know, that a team that's the underdog, who really has nothing to lose, you know, if it were any other team other than the Patriots, you know, I would be disagreeing with you. But again, you know, the Tom Brady's been there, you know, he knows what he's doing in this situation. So there's no pressure. And I think he's going to own this game over Jared Goff. Again, Jared Goff is not, to me, is not a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. He's just a really good game manager. But on the flip side of that, there's been a lot of game managers that have won Super Bowls. I mean, you look at Eli Manning, you look at Joe Flacco. There's four between the two of them as game managers. And then there was the quarterback for the Ravens that won it. He was a game manager style quarterback too, and he had a Super Bowl. So anything is possible. Again, you can have the game of your life. You know, look at Nick Foles. You can have the game of your life and upset Tom Brady. So anything can happen. But I still think the pressure is all on them. Do you think if Brady wins this one, is he going to retire? Would you consider him the GOAT, Phil?
Oh, well, he's been the GOAT for a few years now, honestly, since that game that we won't speak of. But if he wins, I can see him retiring. I mean, what else do you have to prove? Go enjoy your family. Go enjoy your kids. Go enjoy your wife. Like, what more do you have to prove? 6 Super Bowl rings? Like, go on.
Do you think he's the GOAT, Derek?
Yeah, I think he already solidified himself as the GOAT, no matter the outcome of the game Sunday. But, I mean, I still think he's going to keep on going no matter the outcome Sunday. I mean, I think he's sticking behind. He said 45. He's going to be done at that age. So, I think he means it.
Yeah, there still is a little bit of debate within the, NFL community on Twitter. And, there's that debate with him and Joe Montana has been going on for years. I don't think there's a debate at all. I think Tom Brady is the GOAT. But if he wins another one, I think even the discussions of who is the better, the greatest quarterback of all time. I mean, if he wins another Super Bowl, we could be talking potentially him as the greatest player of all time. I mean, we could be looking not just quarterbacks, but like I said, the greatest player, and I don't think he's retiring either. He always convinces himself that he, that someone has, chip on the shoulder type, player like that every year. It's amazing how he motivates himself like that. He takes the hate that he gets and turns it into, success. And I love a player like that. So, my wife said, yeah, he's the GOAT. 28-3 made him the GOAT. Now she's gonna go puke. I can't relate. Never mind. We didn't run the ball at the one, so maybe I can relate. Phil, kind of give us an idea of the vibe in Atlanta for this Super Bowl week. You've really been around it, so what's going on?
Yeah, it's a really impressive situation. I don't get how anybody couldn't love the city of Atlanta. Just go down there to where they're having all the festivities. It just feels like a wonderful festival, a really good atmosphere. Don't worry about the Patriots fans wearing their Patriots gear. Just go enjoy yourself. You got all the lights shining on the building, all the special billboards. It's just a real incredible once-in-a-lifetime kind of vibe. I highly suggest if you're in the area this weekend, find a way to get down there. Try to take MARTA or something. Otherwise, you'll be spending your entire paycheck on parking.
Yeah, it's I think the tickets average price was like $3,300 right now on the secondary market. So for the cheap sum of $3,300, you can get yourself into the Super Bowl. I was reading this story today before we went on air that said that this guy paid $50,000 for tickets for 3 of them, flew here, and they're counterfeit tickets, and he's not getting into the Super Bowl. I'm like, man, if I'm shelling out $50,000 for tickets to the Super Bowl, man, I think I'm 100% making sure that those things aren't counterfeit.
Yeah, I think some company will step up and get them in there.
Yeah, you know, I think that happened. That happened a lot last year too, and I think like Bovada and FanDuel and a lot of them really helped out and stepped in and got them tickets. But the problem is that the counterfeit market is getting so bad for the Super Bowl that it's not just one or two people getting hit like this. It's becoming like, you know, hundreds. And, you know, eventually it's like going to be, hey, tough luck. Yes, you get, you know, should have done your research or quit buying them, you know, just off of some dude off of, you know, Craigslist and instead get them on a, you know, a reputable secondary market. So, you know, or buy them straight up. I mean, that, the thing is they're not cheaper on a secondary market. So I can't understand why don't you just buy them, you know, to begin with, if you're going to spend 50 grand, especially. So, but, where are you going to watch the game at, Derek?
Oh, I'm just going to sit here and watch it out of my apartment. I ain't doing nothing special.
Yeah. Same here. I'm just going to watch it at home. There's nothing big going on. We're taking a 1 week hiatus from the radio show. So, I'm just not going to deal with that traffic. Phil, you going to hang out at home or what?
Nah, I'm gonna go down there. I don't know where I'm going to go, but I'm going to be down there.
You want to be a part of that action? Give us a little bit of a report. We'll be expecting to see an article on HQ by Monday about the experience, right?
Yeah, there'll be some kind of report.
we'll be live. So, but real quick, I just want to throw in here kind of breaking news. LeBron's going to make his comeback tonight against the Clippers. It's just being reported by Yahoo News. So, interesting. He's back a little bit early. I think earlier than scheduled. So shout out to LeBron. Looks like he'll play in the All-Star game and be ready to go. But let's go to the Atlanta United. Miggy Almiron to Newcastle. Done deal. $27.3 million is the rumored amount. That's an MLS record for sure. Amazing what the United were able to do. They got him at $9 million, and then let's see, he took them to the Conference Championship, took them to the MLS Cup, and now we sold them for $27.3 million. I'd say that's a pretty good investment, Phil. What does this mean for MLS?
Oh, it's huge for MLS. MLS, now people expect America to be on top of everything, blah, blah, blah. But MLS is only about the seventh best league in the world, according to most people. Now, for us to sell, you know, a premier player to a premier team shows people around the world that, hey, you can come to MLS and propel yourself to the best of the best or become the best of the best here in MLS. Like, you take a lot of these South Americans, you know, MLS can be a very viable destination for them.
Yeah, you know, what seems to be interesting is this kind of really set the tone for MLS sell-offs this week. I think there was four teams that had pretty major sell-offs, all happened to be in the East this week, which is kind of nice. So weakens the league. Are you starting to see that teams are realizing the profit, the profitability of selling players, maybe to put more money into their franchise, Phil?
Well, they gotta get players like us first to be able to sell them like us. If you saw Gio, a very good player in Toronto, sold for, I want to say I saw three, but there's no way, I can't fathom that. There's no way that can be right.
Yeah, that's good for us. Like I said, it's like all the bigger teams in the East seem to get a little bit weaker this week. So,
a big move, Luciano Acosta. Atlanta United fans know that name. He's been a thorn in our side, but he was sold to Paris Saint-Germain. So another big name team. He was sold today. So the East is kind of crumbling around us. You know, our biggest competition, it was expected to be DC. New York Red Bulls, of course, they've lost some major pieces this offseason. And Toronto seems to be disintegrating when they have the most, they have a lot of talent. So it's going to be, I'd say, us and Columbus right now are the teams to beat in the East.
How nice is it for the United that we have Pity Martinez to fall back on now?
Right, Atlanta United, yeah, we're going to miss Tata, of course, and we're going to miss Miggy, but there's not going to be that much drop off. You still have the best striker in MLS history in Justin Martinez. Hopefully Barco can get in and into a better flow. You still have Tito Villalba. Franco Escobar will be back from injury, who really was one of our best players in the playoffs. And then you have Pity Martinez, South American Player of the Year. There's some very good players in South America. This is not just a little signing. This is a very big signing. He will be able to step into the role similar to what Miggy played, a little different position. But I have full confidence that Frank DBR will have Atlanta United clicking on all cylinders. You just have to watch out for that CCL kind of hangover, as you saw with Toronto last year.
Yeah, I just don't see that. This team is too talented that I just can't see them having that hangover. I think if they had lost Almiron and then had nothing to fall back on, you may have seen a little bit of decrease in talent. But Pity Martinez is, might be better than Miguel Almiron. So we may have actually improved, which is just hard to believe, but one thing about it is I think that with Arthur Blank tasting championship, now he just wants to keep tasting it, and he's never been shy about, spending the money that it takes to, try and build a contender. Money's never really been an issue for him. So, I think it's about time that he buys the Atlanta Braves. But that kind of sinks me into the next segment about the Atlanta Braves is, they had announced their spring training invitees, non-roster invitees. These are guys that aren't on the 40-man roster that are still getting invited to spring training. And some big names on it. Ian Anderson and Kyle Muller and Joey Wentz, three very talented pitchers, are going to be in spring training. I don't think that any of these three have a chance of making the main roster, but I'm really excited to see Ian Anderson. I think he's the next guy up in AAA that will be the first called up if there is a need for starting pitcher. Kyle Muller, a little bit older than Ian Anderson, but also has a lot of potential. And then Joey Wentz, a lot of talk about him in the minors as well as being a potential guy for the bullpen. So I'm excited to see those three. Thomas Burrows, Corbin Klaus, Tucker Davidson, they round out the pitchers in camp. They're mainly just going to be because we've called up so many people that the minor league roster is thin. So we have a lot of these guys that are going to fill out AAA for us too because we have called up. Catching-wise, William Contreras, he's probably, to me, one of the biggest names coming as a non-roster invitee. If we don't get any type of catcher in free agency, I think we all know who we want to be, the catcher here. But it's not sounding like he is going to be here. But trade talks have been heating up about it. But William Contreras is the future. I mean, he is the younger brother of Wilson Contreras of the Cubs, and just very talented. Has to work on his defense a little bit. Wasn't very successful at throwing out runners, but he's so young though, and like I said, just a lot of potential. So I'm really excited to see him at the catcher spot. Carlos Martinez and Jonathan Morales, they're also just fill out guys from the catcher spot because we just don't have a lot of catching in the minor league, so they'll fill out that one. As far as the infield, other than Austin Riley, who I think we're all really familiar with, he's the number one Braves prospect this year. He's got a shot at making the roster. I don't see a spot for him unless it's in the outfield. If we don't, if we don't get anybody, Bryce Harper, he could be a fourth outfielder for us because right now the fourth outfielder is looking pretty slim. We just don't. I mean, that's pretty much an open spot in spring training. So he might get in as that fourth outfielder because the infield really just is too loaded for him. And then that CJ Alexander, Andres Blanco, Pedro Formans, Sean Casimir Jr., and Luis Marte really are all just going to be filling guys for minor league Outfield, though, is looking interesting. Grayson Janista, he was our second round pick last year. We're going to get a chance to see him in spring training. Be exciting to see. Really, really good prospect. Christian Pache, he is another high-ranked prospect. Cannon of an arm. I would say that he is the organization, and when I say organization, I'm talking top to bottom, best defensive player. Better than Ender Inciarte, better than Ronald Acuna. I've heard that people compare him defensively to Jason Hayward at this age, and Jason Hayward at this age was a stud defensive player. So let's just hope that his bat comes around, you know, a little bit better than Hayward's did. And then Drew Waters, another big prospect. He'll probably start in Double A, but it'll be good to see him get some at bats as well. So, and then Ryan Lamar, Rafael Ortega, they're more going to be fill-ins as well for minor leagues. So there's probably 8 or 9 names in there of the non-roster invitees that are going to get a look. So, but that team is, you know, they've got so much potential. I mean, I think we'd all like to see a big deal made, or to bring in a free agency. But that's the message I want to get across, is that we'll be okay if we don't. I mean, I'd like to see a starter. I'd like to see another bullpen guy, not necessarily a closer. I'm actually on the AJ Minter bandwagon, so I don't necessarily think that we need a closer, but I do think we need a huge setup man. So, Doug says he wish we could have signed Harper. Yeah, everybody wishes they could sign Harper. I mean, we know what an impact bat he is, and we would all love to have Bryce Harper. And the thing is, there is a chance for Bryce Harper. We just talked about this, you know, earlier, about 10 minutes before the show started, that Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, Craig Kimbrell, those guys aren't signed yet. So everybody's got a chance at these guys. So, you know, the door's not closed on these guys yet. So, you know, we just got to let trust in AA to make the moves as a general manager. So we'll just have to watch out for that and see what happens. But to end this show today, though, I want to do something kind of a little bit fun. Let me pull it up real quick here. Always fun to do prop betting. And this is, I kind of want you guys to join in on chat here. On what you guys think here. It's going to be like an over-under thing that we're going to do. We're going to do this instead of buy or sell. So how long will it take Gladys Knight to sing the national anthem? 1 minute and 49 seconds or less is the line. Do you think she'll be under that or over that, Derek?
Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and just go over.
You say what now?
I said I'm going to go over.
Over? You think she's going to, like, belt out that soulful rendition?
Yeah.
Bill, what do you think, man? Over, under Gladys Knight at 1 minute 49 seconds or less?
You could have said 2 minutes and 49 seconds, and I still would have picked the over.
When I first heard that she was when she was singing it, I'm like, you know, shout out to her. You know, she's a big, obviously a big for the city of Atlanta. But I agree with you. I'm thinking the over, man. I just think I know these soulful renditions of the national anthem. And I mean, I think the best one ever was Whitney. You know, I think we could all agree Whitney probably did the best one ever, you know? And so, but my wife, she says over. Doug says over. Ryan says under. And then my dad, he says over by 2 minutes. She says no pips with her, so it won't take as long. So, but I thought that was a fun one. I always like that. That's always one that I really like. How will the first points be scored? Derek, touchdown or field goal safety?
I'm gonna go with a field goal. Field goal safety.
Alright, Phil.
Oh, I'll say touchdown. It'd be different. think LA will get the ball, march right on down.
You think LA is going to march right on down?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to be a touchdown as well. I am going to go with a Sony Michel rushing touchdown to start things off. Ryan says CJ Anderson touchdown. You know, CJ Anderson been handling the ball really, really well for them lately. So that's not too far of a reach. You know, I wouldn't disagree with you on that. My wife, she says touchdown Patriots within 2 minutes. So I can't disagree with that either. You know, I know she likes Gronk. So, you know, maybe it'll be Gronk. let's see here. How long will the longest made field goal be? Shorter than 47.5 yards or longer than 47.5 yards, Phil?
Over. New England's going to hit a 51-yarder for the win and to make it 31-28 to secure my prediction.
Yeah, what do you think, Derek?
I don't want to go to same as him, so I'm going to go under.
See, I'm gonna go over on that because, you know, we just saw the dude hit a 57-yarder to win, you know, to even get to the Super Bowl. So we know he's got a leg to kick that. My thing though is it gonna be a field goal game or not? You know, I think there's gonna be a lot of touchdowns. There's not gonna be a lot of field goals, but we got a Ryan saying longer. My wife says over. Doug on the he says kickoff return touchdown to start the game by the Patriots on that last question. Ryan says Rams hit a 60-yarder. So yeah, I think most of us are on the over for that. So let's see. All right, one is, will Tom Brady rush for more than 0.5 yards, so half a yard? Yes or no, Derek?
Yes. Yes.
He's going to do a QB sneak. He's going to get a one yarder.
Yeah, he's going to get a QB sneak in for a touchdown.
Phil, you think he's going to bust out the one yarder, or you think he's staying put in the pocket today?
He's going to bust out an 8-yard. You know, it's the Super Bowl. So during the Patriots comeback, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff is going to happen. So he's going to bust out. He's going to get like a crucial first down on like a 3rd and 6. In the fourth quarter when they're down, you know, the stuff that happens for the Patriots.
Tom Brady's just selfish enough to rush one in for himself at 1 yard. So I think he's going to be over too. I think he's going to get a 1 yard rushing touchdown. And then, you know, that way it'll solidify him as the MVP at the end of the game. But Ryan says that Brady ends with 15 yards. My wife says more. But yeah, you know, I think that, you know, he got a chance of getting that half a yard, but I'm not sure what his average is on the season, but I'm going to guess it's a little more than half a yard. So, will Jared Goff throw at least one interception, Phil? Yes or no?
Yeah, I think he'll throw two. I think he'll throw one early when they're up and it won't really be instrumental, but then he's going to throw a crucial one when the Patriots are making their comeback in the fourth quarter.
What do you think, Derek?
I'm going to go with no.
Ooh. You don't think this guy throws nothing but interceptions? Come on, man.
The reason I don't think he is because I think he's going to play, like you said, a game manager, and they're going to run the ball a lot. They're going to try to run it to win.
Yeah, for them to win, having a chance of winning, they got to establish the run game. So I'm not going to disagree with you there. But
I don't think you have a lot of chances to make that mistake.
Yeah, I'm going with yes. I think yes, he'll throw more than one. So I'll definitely say that. So one thing, let's see here. I'm going to do a couple more here. Let's see. Will there be a touchdown in every quarter, Phil? Yes or no?
No. The Patriots aren't. There's not going to be any in the third quarter because, you know, the Rams are going to be up. What did I say to me? The Rams are going to be up 21-3 at halftime, and then you know there's not going to be Patriots will just add field goal in the third. Man, what's that 21-6, and then you know they'll score 23 in the fourth.
Yeah. Derek, what do you think, man? Do you think that touchdown will be scored in every quarter?
Yep, not going to be a touchdown every single quarter, at least one.
Yeah, I think there's going to be one in every quarter, too. I mean, if you had to say, like, will the Rams score one in every quarter, I wouldn't say that. But, when you're including both teams, I think there will be one score. For most of the scoring that we said, there would have to be a touchdown in every quarter. So, I mean, hard to get to 31 points, without scoring a touchdown in every quarter. So what we'll do to end with is we're going to take a random guess here. What will the predominant color of Adam Levine's shirt be at the start of his halftime performance? Now, these are real bets. You can bet on these at the Vegas Sportsbook. Their choices are black or other. Are you taking black or other on Adam Levine's predominant color of his shirt to start halftime, Derek?
That's seriously a bet. That's crazy. I
love these prop bets. They're my favorite.
I guess I'm going to just go ahead and go with other. I mean, it's more probability.
Right. What color are you taking? Throw one out.
You gotta just pick a color. Never mind.
You can choose other, but I want to know what color you're
thinking. All right, I'm going to go black then.
Yeah. All right, Phil. Black or other? And if you say other, I want to know what color shirt you think he's going with.
Black.
All right, I'm going to take other. I think he comes out shirtless. He's going to make a statement here in the Super Bowl. Maybe he's been working on them Pilates, Derek knows a lot about Pilates, so, Oh, man. No, I'm just kidding, man. I think that I'm going to say other. I think he either comes out with red or he comes out shirtless. My wife says red. Doug says other. Ryan says black. So, yeah. But, yeah, that just to show you how ridiculous some of these prop bets are. That's why I wanted to throw that one out for last. So, Phil, go ahead and shout someone out, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shout out everybody listening. Everybody supporting. We see you. Shout out Game Time Radio. Check us out Sundays at 6. Check out the site. I feel like there's something I'm missing. Come right for us. Definitely come right for us.
Yeah, definitely need some riders. Derek, who are you shouting out?
Just a shout out everybody listening. We appreciate everyone that comes back every single week. We really do.
See, I'm not going to mess this one up. I'm going to shout out my wife. It's her birthday on Saturday. So, yeah, we'll be doing something fun for her birthday and hanging out and just enjoying another day of her life. So I forgot on Game Time Radio, and, man, am I a bad husband. So I definitely was not forgetting this week. So on this show. And then shout out to everybody listening. This is a really good, really good chat, participation kind of week. So, we appreciate you guys coming in the chat and helping us out. And then, shout out to the Game Time Radio guys. And, again, we're doing like a best of, I think, this week. And also for Game Time Radio, and we want to do something for my man Tushar Patel. Follow him on Twitter at Tushar Patel. We want to know what your Super Bowl predictions are, and we'll throw out a gift card. So tweet Tushar at Tushar Patel, TUSHARPATEL, and you got to follow him as well. So, and then shoot out your Super Bowl predictions. We'll give you a prize. And also the same for at GT Radio 1100. Tweet us there for the Game Time Radio Show. We are also giving out a gift card as well. So do that and enjoy the Super Bowl, and we will see you guys next week.
Right here.